This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Forget back to school. It's time to go back to the beach. We all know South Florida has some top beaches, and Hilton has some of the most amazing places to stay, including the Diplomat Resort and Spa in Hollywood, Florida, a historic property that is perfect for the LGBT weekender. You hear that, all of you chubby chasers and bears that are silently lurking listening to my podcast? I mean, I know you don't get to see my scruff or my big belly on the podcast, but I'm assuming you bear chasers are out there, so you guys gotta check these places out. The Conrad in Miami, the Diplomat, the Vintro Hotel South Beach, all part of the Curio Collection. In South Florida and everywhere, Hilton is becoming a welcoming place for LGBT people. I mean, it always has been, but it's really making an effort now. It's a sponsor of the LGBT community. Hilton was presenting sponsor of Capitol Pride in Washington, D.C., gold sponsor of the New York City Pride Parade, which is, no offense to other Pride Parades, my personal favorite, and a presenting sponsor at the GLAAD Media Awards in New York City and Beverly Hills at... Look at that. That's how they're presenting at both GLAAD Media Awards. So do me a favor. Check out goout.hilton.com. It's LGBT travel ideas starting there. Ignite your own memorable moments. Discover top gay destinations and experience the most exciting places to go, including Miami and Fort Lauderdale. Now, also, I just throw out there, even if you're not LGBT, trust me when I say that the LGBT community knows how to party. So you can go to one of these hotels and assume at least the playlist is going to be dope. All right, time for some podcasts. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. Fuck boy. Fuck boy. FUQQBOIWWW. Fuck boy. Just like the director of the movie Shooter. Guys, it's me, John.
Antoine Fuck Boy.
Anton Fuck Wah Boy. It's me, your host, John Gabers, joined in the High and Mighty Studios by podcaster, writer, comedian, Arian Poster Boy.
Podcaster coming first.
Well, I feel like for listeners of podcasts, sure. Like that's all.
No,
that
that's
yeah.
Totally fair. It's just like, it's still not a word. I get itchy about it.
That voice like you're hearing is description. Hayes Davenport, which you probably know because you read the description of this episode, but I still have to do the formal introduction for people who are blind.
Right. I like to go in just like head first on a podcast. I don't like knowing what's yeah. What's coming.
When I'm I'll just listen. Who cares other. What the movie is yeah. That they're reviewing? I'm in.
Yeah.
I'll fast forward to the middle and be like, I don't even want to know what they were previously talking about.
Yeah.
And just pick up in the middle of a conversation and keep going, ah,
to
what?
To simulate the Pete Holmes effect, you know, because he does that thing when they just like start in the middle of a conversation on a lot of his shows.
Yeah, you don't have to tell
and
me that.
Like, are we going? Are we going right now? He's like, yeah, we're going!
If anyone here wants to hate me on a whole nother layer, listen to my episode of what the hell is Pete Holmes' podcast called? You Made It Weird. I almost called it Don't Get Me Started. Listen to my episode of You Made It Weird. Pete is recording unbeknownst to me, and I say a racial slur. Oh, and I told him.
And you afterwards are like, please don't put that in. And he's like, no.
He was like, I can edit that out if you want. And I'm like, well, leave it in. I said it.
Wow. Yeah. Cool.
So enjoy. If you, maybe I shouldn't announce to people things that can help me end my career.
Hey, you got away with once.
Yeah, if you want to
go back and check this out again.
Yeah, why am I alerting anyone to that? So assuming you're just turning on the podcast right now because you jump a minute in for whatever reasons, we are here. We're going to talk about newspaper comics, which is very like. Hayes, before we get into the reviews, when I emailed, I wanted you to be on the podcast. I'm a big fan of you and we're friends.
Well, we had a conversation. We did that some weird USC panel that
yes!
Sean and I were supposed to do, and Sean had to bail, and so he strong-armed you into doing it. Yeah.
It was at an college improv festival.
Yeah.
Had a podcasting panel that was you and I was about 5 weeks into hosting a podcast at that point.
And it was in like a student coffee house, and there were a bunch of people like working along the sides.
Like, it was like
clear that they were not there to listen to us,
facing away on their laptops when they could easily have faced us.
Yeah,
and felt a little bit better about ourselves.
And afterwards, we were in the parking lot. I was seeing all the beach stuff that you just keep in your car. It's like a full beach layout in the trunk of your car.
I am a cliche. I do have currently in my I have to fix my trunk. I have to clean out my trunk after this, but currently in my trunk I have a cooler, flip-flops, two backpacks, an umbrella, two beach chairs, a bunch of weed paraphernalia. Everything, a frisbee, literally everything I need in case I accidentally end up at the beach, which happens once every 3 months.
Yeah.
That I'm like, "Oh fuck, that I don't know I'm going to the beach." Also, it's just easier when your apartment's small to keep beach chairs in your car.
Was there one time that you were just, like, burned really bad? Like, when you were, like, had a great beach opportunity and you just had no stuff?
There was a period of time when I was working with someone that worked out of Brentwood. And I got there and I was, like, had the time wrong. And I had, like, two hours off. So I was like, sucks. I could shoot over to fucking... I went over to Will Rogers Beach for like an hour and had nothing. So I just fucking went down and like laid out in like cargo shorts. And
never
I was like, never again. Now I have a towel in there. I have everything I need.
But so we were talking in the parking lot and you were saying, I was saying I love the podcast. I'd love to do it. And you're like, I just don't know what the two of us have in common to talk about.
Right. That's true. Like, oh, wow. You can look at us and say, I don't know what we have in common.
And then I was like, no, of course. But then I did it. Took a lot of thought to try and
that was maybe one of the best emails I've received in my entire life. I was like, Hayes, I'd love to have you on. I know you rode crew. I know a little bit about crew. I would be down to talk about that because I almost did it. And then you sent me back a list of like, here are 10 things I'm going to take guesses that you might be.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting. I wish I, like anyone else I knew, put in that effort because that is such a fun email to receive. To be like, it was also fun to know about shit that you were into that I didn't know you were into.
But my hit rate was not that high.
Well, you sort of knew. You did like a scatter shot.
All around.
The Yankees Red Sox thing would have been good. I could have done, maybe we could do Giants Patriots, but you're more of a baseball guy than
more of a baseball or like basketball guy. Yeah.
I'm more of a football guy than
Even Red Sox Yankees. I mean, no one really cares about baseball anymore, but my specific Red Sox Yankees time is like late 90s,
early 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like watching it at Renaissance Pub in Poughkeepsie, New York with all of your Staten Island friends when the Red Sox, you know, is that exactly what you
that's
got?
That's my story.
But the one thing that you did hit on in there that got me super excited is newspaper comics.
Yeah.
Now, I have a feeling you were the fact that I wouldn't say that to anyone else, like, hey, Gabrus, what are you into? I would never throw that out there. So it makes me wary that you are probably more informed than I am, but
Right. It was just kind of a realization as I was thinking of stuff that I know a lot about. I didn't even really realize it until I was trying to
come up with
a list. It was like, oh yeah, I just go very deep on
that's what happened. That's what kind of happened to me with this entire podcast. Like I talked to Jake and Amir and I'm like, I don't know what I want to do it about. They're like, well, you know, you really always talk about this. So I was like, do I? Oh right. Yeah. And it was like, people were pointing out to me, it's like, here are things I always hear you talk about. I'm like, I guess I never really thought about that, but I'm obsessed with sandwiches or obsessed with this.
Seltzer was another thing that I put on the list.
Seltzer. I'm a,
and you offered me a
if I can directly quote you, you go, I can go real deep on seltzer.
Yeah. But then I realized after I was like, as I sent it, I was like, I kind of hope he doesn't pick that because, like, you know, 10 minutes on that is very deep.
You could do 10 minutes on pamplemousse and then after that you're fucking hip firing.
Well, so this is like my big cool opinion is that I don't like LaCroix is not my favorite, you know.
It's you're
like,
a Talking Rain guy.
I like the big the big bubble kind that is my favorite that they have in New York is Polar.
Oh yeah.
Seltzer.
Do you know I called that Polar for like 5 years?
Oh, and that then someone is weird.
Was like,
because it has a polar bear on it.
That's exactly. And I was like, I think it's pronounced Polar. And someone's like, there is a fucking bear on it. Like, and there's no hyphen, space. Like, why wouldn't you? And I was like, I feel like that's one of those things where I heard Polar once, and I was like, that's what it is. Or
you were just like injecting some class into
it. Yeah, I was making it into, I was doing the Target thing. I was ahead of its time. Is that Polar is your favorite?
Yeah, I was working in New York earlier this year, and they had it at the grocery store near me, and I would like house like four bottles a day of it, the big ones. so much that I gave myself like a weird reflux, like
from
having
so much
so
carbonation.
Many bubbles in your stomach was just like forcing everything up, and it like messed up my throat. So a doctor had to tell me to stop
to chill on your seltzer. Now I offer you a LaCroix.
It's the most like hardcore kind. But this stuff is this stuff I can handle.
Why? Because Polar is so much more bubbly.
Tame. Yeah, they have they talk about their like bubble recipe on the bottle.
Oh man,
and it is really serious.
I'm gonna go on Amazon.
It hurts.
I haven't had Polar in a while. I'm gonna order. Yeah. I'm gonna go deep dive off Amazon.
They're doing a lot of interesting flavor stuff. They come up with like summer flavors, like watermelon sangria, mint mojitos.
Are you serious?
Like that. Yeah.
Some of the ones that are too flavored make me think that they have alcohol in them. Like they taste like the way when I used to just like whip up like, all right, how about vanilla vodka? You know, like, and then it feels too nasty. Like coconut tasted like suntan lotion and rum, and I can't drink the coconut LaCroix.
The coconut LaCroix are widely understood to be disgusting.
But every once in a while you run into someone and it's their favorite. I don't really know her that well, but she brought it up in an audition, so I feel like I could throw her under the bus here. But Milena Vayntrub, she's like the AT&T spokesperson and like a very funny comic actress.
Yeah,
she mentioned coconut as her favorite.
We're talking about it, you know. It works. Whoa!
Oh, there we go. There knocked goes. Over the Zoom. I should not be in charge of myself here. Looks like everything's going according to plan.
Our earwolf engineers do that all the time. They just
fucking
use their feet to rip all the cords out of the wall.
Look, one thing we're not here at High and Mighty is professional, okay? That's like the professionals for the hacks.
I think you fake this just to create like an atmosphere.
I literally like at 11:55 would put on a shirt over a tank top and put shoes on just so I wasn't like barefoot in my pajamas when you showed up. I was like, cool. I should like present myself for a guest.
Yeah.
Let's dive into newspaper comics.
Sure. You know what else I was thinking we could have talked about on the way here? When did you and Tiffany start dating?
We started junior year of college.
Me too.
Oh.
Janine, my girlfriend and I.
But you're still not.
We're still not married. But I feel like a long-term college.
Because that's all the phases of life. For like, yeah, that's like
all the good ones.
It's like used up by one person.
Yes. Yeah,
it's like the college relationship into the just out of college.
Yeah,
then into the just starting to make money. Like all the phases of your life are all going from being a struggling whatever we are to relatively successful whatever we are. Like all with the same person is a long.
Yeah,
like I've been hooking up with the same girl now for 14 years.
And I think it's an interesting conversation about like what is good about that.
Because it's because a lot of people
the stuff that is not good
is obvious.
It's not something you really have to dig into that much.
Yeah, and also something since my wife is a listener for now.
Sure.
She still is.
Yeah.
It would be hard for me to be like, yeah, man, it would have been nice in my early 20s to just, you know, throw it around
right.
a little.
She knows.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she's thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally to have known like from sleeping at each other's mom's houses to sleeping in each other's dorms to sleeping in the each other's first apartments.
Did you move into her dorm or did she move into yours?
I pretty much moved into her dorm because
same for me.
Yeah, I had dudes.
And mine had she had a single, my girlfriend. She was a senior and I was a junior. And I
excuse us.
And I had made my room so uninhabitable that I moved into her like really early in our relationship. We'd been together for like a week when I like officially brought all my stuff into her room forever.
My senior year, I lived in a house with eight guys that had like three kitchens. It was like a disgust, and I loved it, but Tiff wouldn't stay there because the bathroom that she would have to use was literally like a barbershop floor. There was just like a coat of hair on everything.
Yeah.
It was just, and my roommates were all disgusting. And we all had girlfriends, but we'd all like leave and go to our girlfriends' houses and leave the house to be absolute disarray.
We had a juicer in our shower, for like one of our roommates was like a cross country guy, and he had gotten like a Jack LaLanne juicer, being like, "This is how I'm gonna get like all my nutrients from now on." And somehow there was no other like we never ever used it, and there was nowhere else to put it but in the shower. And every time we wanted to take one, we would have to like take out the juicer and like shower and put it back in. But it was like swarming with fruit flies that we would have to like hose away with the shower every time we. Well, used it.
Here's a question: if your girlfriend's a year older, what was your senior year like? Was she living in and around your school?
No, she was in LA, and I actually took a year, like a semester off, so I graduated a year and a half after she did.
You took a semester off in the middle?
Actually, after we had gotten together, she graduated, and it was like, well, okay, it's gonna be like a year, and then we'll like finally be together. And I remember the conversation when I came to her. I was like, hey, I think I'm gonna take a semester to do a parody magazine.
That's what you did. You took a semester off school to write for.
I was working on the Lampoon already, but yeah. We were doing like a National Geographic parody.
You were doing like a special one, so you're going to take a semester off school to focus
on... focus on the National Geographic parody. Yeah. I was like, this is going to be really huge for my career. Like, what this magazine gets out there. And, like, you know, it was a total dud. But
it was worth it that you did that.
I mean, we're still together. It didn't cost me the relationship, but like,
right.
It came very close. Like, it
that, was... So that pushed it another 4 months to you maybe to moving out here then.
Yeah.
Because you were like, I'm going to finish school at least.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was so brutal. It was only good in a way that like it just ensured that we were going to get all the like worst part of our relationship done at once.
Right. A year and a half of long distance from a college senior to a whatever she was starting work in the business at that
point? No, she was like kind of tutoring, like doing like web design stuff, just like in LA by herself. And yeah,
did you get shit from your guy friends at that point? Because I fell in love with Tiffany before we were dating. Like we were just friends, and we both had significant others. And then I broke up with mine, and she didn't break up with hers. And I became like this. I was her fucking. I was Ducky. Like I was her friend, and like following her around, and like And then so my guy friends were giving me so much guff for like a full semester, and then I started dating her the next semester, and I was like, yeah, everyone could suck. Now you know, 12 years later, I'm like, I win. I think. Do you think senior year your buddies? I mean, I don't. I'm assuming your friends are probably based on what you took a semester off to write for a magazine. We have a different.
My friends
I think we have a different college experience.
Fellow pussy house. No, they were like also.
What did Salvatore and Nick, Nikki and Johnny and all those guys say?
No, they were all equally eager to like find someone to just like be with them forever, so they would never not have to worry about like trying to like play the game over and over again. Just like do it once and then never ever do it again. They didn't like I didn't really get a lot of shit. That last semester was great because I felt like all the people I had an obligation to spend time with were gone.
Oh,
it was like basically just me. Because
you had
campus.
To do like 4.5.
Yes.
So you had like one more fall semester.
So it was just me. I lived on campus. I would sneak into the cafeteria every day because I didn't have like a board card anymore. And I would like go in like the back entrance and like pick up my tray and just get the food and then walk it out of the tray exposed in the air all the way back to my apartment.
So you only underclassmen you were friends with were still around at this point.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. And I would like check in on them every once in a while, but mostly I was working on a thesis that like last semester.
Major in writing? What would you major
in? It was called social studies, which is like so fucking embarrassing.
Because that's
now.
Like the high school history.
Like fifth grade. Yeah. It's like where you learn about like the three branches of government and like how a bill becomes a law and stuff. And it like when I was in college, it was like an honors major.
Yeah.
It was like something like that you like had to do a thesis for. It was like a hardcore one.
Right.
And I wanted it to be like impressive, but now for the rest of my life it's like the opposite. It feels like a total like,
it's really funny.
Jock
like, yeah.
Nothing.
And then you're in a writer's room and it's like, oh, what'd you do? He's like, oh, I went to community college for a year then started doing stand up. Now we do the exact same job. Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when I met Sean for the first time, he was like, yeah, I went to college on a tennis scholarship.
I was a masseuse for a while.
I left immediately. and now I'm much better at this than you are, and I spent no money to accumulate this.
No pedigree.
And,
no.
Yeah, and I'm just impossibly good, and you have to try so hard. Yeah, it was socialism, but I did my thesis on baseball. It was kind of a joke, but I would watch... I would watch every episode of, you know how they do like six sports centers in a row?
Yeah.
I would just like turn on ESPN and watch every single one. And they're weirdly, you see like the kind of cracks in the ESPN system when you're like watching every single sports center, because they would have like Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay on or whatever to like argue about the NFL draft, do a live argument. And then they'd have them on again the next hour to have the same argument, but
They couldn't exactly do it again, right?
No, they couldn't do the exact same thing, but they're pretending to be surprised by each other's picks, and you're like, I just saw it. You already know what
That's
his
crazy
picks are.
That they do it live again. Why wouldn't they just tape it?
I think they might have changed the format because they were like experimenting with stuff, and I'm sure Mel was like, this isn't working, gosh. Like, so I can't like, keep doing
what,
this
what
shit.
What an awful job as like every hour on the at 4:12, 5:12, and 6:12, you got to stumble out and have the same conversation. Like, yeah. You got to look around and go, guys, does anyone know how TV works? Can we just re-air this?
Yeah. Or just sit in front of a green screen in your house with like a row of buildings behind you or whatever.
Yeah, why am I putting on pants?
And fight with someone.
My dad used to work on the Fox 5 10 o'clock news in New York like a lighting guy. And I worked with him a few shifts. And one of the coolest things I thought was that, whose name is escaping now, but the sports extra guy would come in a suit with either shorts or sweatpants on, and he was like 50, and I was like, that is a cool
job.
That's
awesome.
And I got to meet a bunch of Giants and Yankees from that gig, too, and shook Michael Strahan's hand, and his fingers touched on the other side of my hand, and I was like 20. Like, I was an adult. And he touched, and I could see his fingers grab each other on the other side.
Cool.
Yeah.
Was he getting into broadcasting at that point?
What?
Was he? Cause
no,
he,
no. He was just he like was, he was still a Giant, and he was
right,
just coming
20.
In for an interview.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny. By the way, I just saw Magic Mike XXL, and I'm like, is that Michael Strahan in there?
Just saw it.
Yeah. Don't ask.
Weird to just be catching up to Magic Mike XXL.
I loved it, and I just was like, it's a weird movie to like watch alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I had to like wait till my wife was around to be like, let's watch Magic Mike XXL. Like,
yes.
I don't want to watch it by myself. I don't want to be like the UPS person comes. I open the door and I'm watching like Strahan grind or Donald Glover sing rap to a woman.
Oh, that's right. Is he in the second one too?
He's in the second one. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's not in the first one.
Oh, he's not in the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on, get him.
I haven't seen. I did see when I was working at Family Guy. We would just like sit in these like disgusting writers' rooms and just like watch videos all day, and we watched the where he does like the Genuine song,
yeah,
Pony. And the first one, Pony, yeah. And it's me and like a bunch of like divorced 50-year-olds just like sitting in silence watching this thing. Usually everyone's like cracking jokes or something, but we're just like silently watching him do this.
Yeah,
just,
they're like
unable to speak. And I'm like,
there's layers to what's happening there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I hate this guy and I'm jealous
not
of this
sure
guy.
Yeah, what to feel.
Or maybe I like
it's
this.
It's just all just washing over you.
I think XXL is like takes the Soderbergh out of the movie, like makes it a little less serious, and it makes it much better.
Better.
Yeah,
okay.
It's more fun. It's not as good of a movie.
Yeah.
Which is an insane thing to say about Magic Mike, but XXL is way more fun.
Okay.
And Joe Manganiello has like a scene where he does a striptease like in a convenience store for like a 16-year-old like dumpy like cashier, and it's like it's fucking great. It's really funny.
Have you read any of his fitness books,
Joe Manganiello?
He's like a big like you know positivity.
It's weird. Do you know like I'm like kind of obsessed with him? Did you know this about
No.
him? I'm like, he's on my.
Have you done an episode about him?
No, not yet. That would be a really good episode.
Yeah,
I want to have him on.
That's achievable. I think.
He's about at the peak of of non-comedy, because comedy people, I feel like I can get a connection to. Non-comedy people, I'd be like, I don't know how to ask him this.
No, but he could. I mean, I feel like he's just a very gregarious.
I love
to talk to
Tiff and
guy.
I watched True Blood, and as we were watching it, I like fell in love with him. I was like, this guy has an insane. I mean, he's like 6'6" and shredded. Yeah, yeah. And he's
and
such.
He was in Sean and Dom's pilot. You remember?
He was in
Checked Out a few years ago.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
oh, wait, that's my way in.
He does like a half a scene. He's like a gym teacher or something.
Oh, that's so awesome. Good to know. I'll follow up. I'll have Joe Manganiello on here.
I think so.
And I'll end up just propositioning him.
I get to hey, like, yeah, okay. He just like wants to try everything in life and be positive. Yeah, sure.
Sure. Right. And then he made a documentary about male strippers too. He's like an EP on La Barre, like a Showtime based doc.
La Barre?
Yeah, or La Barre, B A R E.
Okay.
But or it's B A R R E. Like it's the name of the the name of the male strip club in like in Texas or wherever that they went to do research for their roles.
Yeah.
And he like fell in love with the idea of it or whatever and made it.
Wow.
That's a guy who's taking his job super seriously.
Yeah, that's cool.
He's not a fucking day player. He's invested in these characters.
Yeah. Are we getting that? Are we picking up that noise?
It sounds like a slow elevator outside of my house, so I don't understand what that could possibly be. It can't be louder than my breathing while you're talking. There's no way my mouth breathing is lower than that, so we're fine.
That's great. To be the perfect podcaster is to create like white noise.
I make my own room tone. It's like Gandolfini over here by the mic.
Who's this,
huh? Who's this fucking guy?
Have you ever heard, Tom Sharpling?
Yeah.
He does Tony Soprano's ringtone and him answering the phone. He goes like,
who's this? Oh, that's awesome.
It's
I haven't
really
heard
good.
That. That's
it's
really
very
funny.
Accurate.
You said newspaper comics.
Newspaper comics,
and
yeah.
That got me excited because
yes.
I'm out of it now. But
me too.
Yeah, I'm out of into newspapers at this point. But there was a period of time when my family is a big paper family. Like growing up, my dad was like, you know, my dad and mom would like sit there on a Sunday morning and be like, because my dad worked nights for the news, and he'd be like, "Are you done with this section?
Yeah.
Here, I'm done with this section." And then as I got older, there was a part of me I was like precociously smart, like I could read early on.
Yeah.
And then when I was like got to be like seven, I was like into the paper because my dad and mom were.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, oh,
what
and then,
paper? Like, what was your main
we
paper?
Would get our big one was Newsday, the Long Island newspaper. But we would also get the Post and sometimes my and the Daily News.
Okay.
We'd get all
did they
those.
All have comics?
They all did. The Newsday was the one that had the Sunday that had the big ass section where everything was extended. And I think I read all the Newsday weekly the daily comics too.
Yeah.
And then on Sundays would be like I would sit down and be like with my parents and be like, are you done with this? Like, you know, and like, and then I would read Parade.
Sure.
The insert magazine. Cause I liked the,
there's Howard Huge in Parade.
Yeah.
There was the Marilyn Vos,
Von Fazant or whatever.
Vos Savant column.
I called her Von Savant.
whose IQ is like 800 or
but
something.
But she's answering questions about like, my son likes baseball.
Yes. It's like, what? Her use of her intellect is extremely poor.
That was one of my favorite, and I love the idea of like, this is just a genius who people ask for advice. Like, I was obsessed with that too, because if you're based on anything you've heard, I like someone who's just a genius who can answer questions. It's like wizardly.
And a lot of it back then was advice, but it was also like, what's the name? It was like pre-Google. So
right,
it was
yeah.
What's the name of this like worm that lives under the ocean?
it was like, is there a term for like when you feel forlorn for a life that you never had?
Yeah.
Just like one word answer.
Just a human Google.
Yeah. That's true.
She's like, still doing
imagine
it.
That's how you got information now. You had to like write a letter and then just check the paper weekly.
Just
until
pray. That she chooses your letter or you'll never know.
It is polar.
She
that would be so weird to write. Is it pronounced polar or polar? It just looks exactly the same.
She chooses that one out of everything she gets that week.
She's like, this kid's written in 50 times.
I need to help this person. Or he's just not going to be able to go on with his life.
So what was your way into the newspaper comics?
We got the Globe, the Boston Globe when I was living in Boston, and then we moved to Texas, but we would still get it somehow. I didn't know you could do that, because I know like the New York Times is obviously everywhere, but somehow we got the Globe in Texas. My way in, I wasn't really allowed to read like adults. Not adult comics, but Spawn and the stuff that my friends were into.
Right, like the real comic books.
At the time,
And this is in the like the early 90s?
Early 90s, yeah. I just had to like do like all kids, all the music I was allowed to listen to was like oldies.
Really?
And stuff like that. Yeah.
So up until like what age?
I remember like in seventh grade discovering like No Doubt and stuff. Basically.
Oh, wow.
Or like Bare Naked Ladies was a good one that my parents were like not that into me listening
based
to
off the name alone.
Yeah,
that's
based
fair.
On the name,
yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
And so I had to call it BNL, of course, just the shorthand.
And then once you got caught up in the fan group, BNL is all that's the tattoo. That's all you need.
Yeah. So there was like this awakening of like, and the New Radicals was a big one that I got in big trouble for because I was like, you guys got like to my parents, like this fucking rules. You got to listen to this. And if you remember the New Radicals CD, when you put it in, that they, do you know
what? It's like,
that was you only get what you give.
Yeah, yeah.
That was
yeah.
their big one.
I just tried to sing a song by making three noises in a row.
But that's it. Yeah. Yeah. But then he, on the first track, when you put the CD in, it's a woman's voice saying, "Make my nipples hard." And I was like playing this for my parents, and that's the first thing they hear. And then we had to have a big conversation about what
I remember. My parents were not as strict. They were more strict. They had like a different set of values. They would, if we weren't around, we could do just about anything. But
yeah,
I remember music was fine. They were a little hesitant because I was the oldest, but I got Offspring Smash. And that,
oh, yeah.
And that the third song is like Bad Habit, was like, "When I'm in my car, don't give me no shit, cause the," and it's like, "You stupid dumb shit goddamn motherfucker," and it's like about pulling a gun on someone who cuts you off in the road, and like I was like singing it in my room, and my parents were like open the door like, "What is this?"
Yeah, I can see that being scary. Yeah. For
and I'm like, "Dad, you know the song Gotta Keep Them Separated?" He's like, "Oh yeah, it's on K-Rock or whatever." It's like, yeah, these are these guys. Like I had to like, you know, like make my dad feel included in order for me to.
But your dad was into that stuff too?
My dad was just into like the radio.
Yeah.
Growing up,
okay.
Growing up, because my dad didn't have to go to work till, he didn't have to be in the city till 3 o'clock. So he left every day at like 2 p.m.
Cool.
So it's a really weird dynamic in our house that my dad was home, but
daytime dad.
Yeah, it was like a daytime father. Then we didn't see him again until the next morning.
Next morning.
But when we would go to school, we'd only see him from like 6 to 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And then not until the weekend if we caught him in the morning. And it was cool for later on in life. As we got a little older, we went to the beach in the summer every single day.
Oh, that's cool.
And till one. But my dad would listen to Opie and Anthony, Howard and Mike and the Mad Dog, and maybe even Ron and Fez.
Oh wow!
All day long in the garage while he did like whatever he had to do around the house. My dad is a insane type A, like OCD.
Yeah.
Arguably, like we used to joke that he was a Nazi because he's German. He's 6'5", blonde hair, blue eyes, and just worked until he went to work.
Wow!
So he'd get up, put on like his workout clothes, and like lift weights and do karate in the garage in between running laundry loads or painting the outside, like whatever he had to do. He'd do it all morning long, but would always like circuit train throughout the day
and like listen to Opie and Anthony while he would work out.
Yep, just blasting from the garage all day with the garage door open, just blasting in throughout the entire house.
Wow.
It was like attached to our house.
I remember thinking that they, at the time, they were in Boston. Wasn't Opie and Anthony
they
Boston
were in
based,
Boston,
but they were syndicated.
They were syndicated, but then they were in New York for a while because they were on, I think they were on 92.7. I had a Whip 'Em Out Wednesday.
So,
I had that bumper
sure.
sticker on my car in high school, which was insane.
Did it ever work?
Never saw a titty. I saw a girl pulled out her tit one time when I walked past her on Hempstead Turnpike.
Wow.
Like, I was like,
at you?
I was with another friend. We were like 17 or 18 going to the Hofstra pool to go for a swim.
You walked past her on a turn. I'm sorry, I don't know the geography.
Oh, which is, it's like a main drag. It's like walking past someone on Sunset Boulevard. Like,
oh, okay.
And she's in a bikini. She's in like a bathing suit with a hoodie over it. I don't know that until she lifts up her hoodie and then pulls her tit out of her bathing suit and just starts laughing. And it was like, great. And I was like, this is amazing.
It is funny.
It was funny.
Yeah.
It was funny. The tables, the joke doesn't go both ways. Can't pull out your schwanz and have a good laugh with a couple of strangers.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It is funny to you, bro. That actually kind of lights it up. Better to laugh than to just be like very serious.
Screaming. Look out! You dick in your hand. Hey.
Yeah. So in Texas, we would get the Globe, and I would read. It was like a one page, during the week, it was like the one page of the black and white
with the crossword.
Crosswords on the other side, usually, on the opposite page.
Family Circus in the bottom right hand corner, maybe.
What I remember is like a lot of papers, they would lead off with the heavy hitters, Dilbert, Doonesbury.
Yeah,
those were at the top. Those are like, if you like Dilbert and Doonesbury, that'll lead you into the rest of the rest of the page. They had a couple of single panel ones. non sequitur. No, maybe that wasn't a single panel. Like, I don't think they had Family Circus. It was like they didn't have any of the shit like Mary Worth and like Amazing Spider-Man, where like the first panel is like previously on Amazing Spider-Man, and then it's like a middle one of like, where's Mary Jane? And then like coming up tomorrow.
It's like you're doing one panel a day and with lead in and lead out.
Yes, the story just goes like so impossibly slowly that by the time you get to the end, like I can't imagine how you would remember what happened like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I never really cared for the continuity.
Yeah,
I remember on Sundays in Newsday, the first comic, Doonesbury and Mallard Fillmore.
Yes.
I would skip those.
Yeah. Well, Mallard Fillmore was like really political. That was the one that a lot of the, I think there were complaints that the comics page was like too liberal. And so Mallard Fillmore was like the right wing balance.
Oh, shit.
He hated Clinton. Like Mallard Fillmore was a duck who hates Bill Clinton.
Finally.
And the guy, the cartoonist named, fuck. Oh, his name's Bruce Tinsley. I'm about to light up Bruce Tinsley on this podcast. He got a DUI, and then a lot of his cartoons were about like DUI stuff, like about how it's bullshit, about how like the police state is like sucks and all
that's
this
so
shit.
Specific to be anti DUI.
Yeah, I mean, because you just have like total impunity with this, like no one's gonna tell you not to do anything in the scripts and nobody reads them or whatever. So it like got very personal. I think it's still a comic. There's another one that I see in the LA Times sometimes called Prickly City, which is like the new sort of right wing thing.
Were you a Doonesbury fan? Did you like Doonesbury?
No, Doonesbury was one that I never really got into.
I always remember thinking like this is too realistic. What I thought as a kid. I was like, there's a lot of writing and it's like there's like new, it's reporters and stuff.
And you're
sometimes.
Also kind of catching it. There's so many characters and they age because like Mike Doonesbury, I remember he started out in college. I think maybe when it was a college strip. And then he graduated and there's like his friend BD with the football helmet and shit. And they have all these like very long backstories. So most of the time you're like, who is this? And they all sort of look the same, but they have different hair. The other one like that was For Better or For Worse, which I did like.
That was the, I read this one too. Which one, what was that? What was it?
It was like
one?
A family. It's by this woman named Lynn Johnson. And it's just mom and dad, a few kids. The little girl's name is April. They had a dog named Farley who dies. Really upset. He dies saving April in this really from drowning. This really upsetting series of strips. But they, you know, they age. Characters will like come and go. It was like super dramatic. Each strip in general was like pretty funny, but sometimes they would carve out a storyline that was like really hardcore.
I remember reading these now too. Yeah.
And I remember finding out sort of vaguely what being gay was from Michael, one of the kids, had a friend who came out. This was like 92, 93.
That's amazing.
It was like a pretty big deal. And I remember reading about it later, and the writer lost like 20 papers or something like that from them just being like, get this the fuck out of here. So there were people experimenting with the form in like a good way.
That's so fucking awesome.
That was a good one. There's one called Bizarro. Do you remember Bizarro?
I don't think we had Bizarro.
That wasn't like a story strip. It was like one joke per week, but not like a square panel. It was like rectangular. I think that was kind of like a freaky one that I like, sort of like a 90s circusy weirdness.
I think I remember that one. The big ones in my house were Lockhorns got cut out.
Oh, yeah.
Got cut out a lot and put on the fridge. Like, as like passive.
A lot of relatable stuff between mom and dad with the Lockhorns.
When I was like, before you were coming over, I was like, what were the comics I used to read? And I tried to remember. And a lot of the ones I distinctly remember were the game behind the comics, or the theme behind the comics, were like getting, like Lockhorns was like a husband whose wife sucked and vice versa, and they like hated each other. So that would get cut out a lot. And then there was this other comic called Zits that came a little later.
Oh, yeah.
Which was like
a lot of stuff, you know, kids
and parents.
And
it was a lot of those would get cut out, and you'd come home and a Zits comic would be on the fridge, and it's like, turn down that music. What? Turn down that music. What?
Yes.
You know, like sort of
just
like
not sinking in.
Finding fights we've had in the house as a family and posting them up there.
Zits was great. I love love zits. It I was like drawn zits. In like a really cool way. I remember the kid was in a band called Goat Cheese Pizza that like yeah that they would always play too loud and mom would get upset.
That's so funny.
I remember some like some of them were like for me like an 8-year-old kid or whatever were like sort of weirdly erotic. And ooh. Zits was one because I remember the way they drew breasts in that strip was like kind of weirdly realistic where they were like not like droopy, but just like kind of just enough to.
Yeah, just to enough that they felt
like,
real.
Yeah, to feel sort of real. And like the kid had this girlfriend that was drawn in a way that like stirred me in a really bizarre way.
Cartoon breast that stirred me when I was younger was the cheerleader in Daria, Brittany. And
oh,
the, yeah.
God, yeah.
Of course. I mean, I think yeah. it's supposed to. Like she
that's Jasmine, of course.
When she turns around, you could see her tits from behind her back. Like she's so skinny and they put such big tits on her. You see the back of the boobs from behind, which I think is like an insane cool. animation. Choice.
Yeah. There was one. Did you have Rose's Rose?
No. Maybe I did. I don't know.
That was a sort of like trippy, like super positive strip that was about this mom, Rose, her husband, Jimbo, and their baby son, Pasquale.
Jimbo and Pasquale.
Yeah. It's, their last name was Gumbo, too. Rose Gumbo.
Jimbo Gumbo.
Jimbo Gumbo, yeah. Sometimes, like when she would like be feeling aggressive or whatever, she would become a biker chick, and those were like
kind of
good days. those
are good for young Davenport.
Yeah.
Hagar the Horrible, the Viking.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That was a
yeah,
big one.
Like BC.
BC was always fun.
I was talking to Sean about BC. He emailed me a BC strip, and I was pointing out how like it always kind of frustrated me how BC is it's about these like cavemen, but they're never doing any caveman stuff. They're always just like going to restaurants, or
and it's like it was like a Flintstones time period where it's like
yeah.
it's the past, but it's just like the future, but everything's rocks, you know? It's
yeah,
like, just like present day.
But they didn't even go like to make so far as like to make rock jokes,
right?
Like,
no.
There's no reason for these people to.
It
be
It was more like $9.99.
Yes,
like, question mark? Like,
totally. Why not just make it $10?
Right.
Dilbert, you know, it's like Scott Adams is like. Huge now, you know that he's like
crazy. Like he's saying that like he can solve every right. He's like he's got some sort of special genius thing about him, right?
Well, there was a tweet that went around recently saying like
he can learn anything.
Where he's saying like if expertise is like the quality you need to be president, name one thing that I can't become an expert in an hour. But all this is part of his like larger campaign to elect Donald Trump president.
Ugh.
He's like a huge Trump supporter. He's like a total like men's rights advocate and stuff. But the way he does this, he's also he's taking like hypnotism training. So his whole thing is like
he sounds like if like imagine your girlfriend was like, "Yeah, so Sarah's coming over and her new boyfriend," and she described the new boyfriend as those three things.
Yeah.
That'd be the worst human being alive.
Totally.
He's into hypnotism, he's a men's rights activist, and he's pro Trump.
Yes. It's impossible in this case because Scott Adams, I think, has been alone for his fully yeah. alone for his
Based
entire life.
Based on his choices.
Yes. but he the way he does it is he considers himself and Donald Trump to be master manipulators. So the way he writes his arguments is like to make you think that it's supposed to be like he's sneaking up on you with his ideas, but you can like really clearly see like kind of what he's going for. He'll do stuff like at the Democratic National Convention. He's like, I just found it interesting that this woman is on stage sort of attacking men in an arena that was built by men. And the cities were like all the buildings were built by men. I'm just saying that for context. I'm not like saying that to like make any accusations or anything.
Aww.
So he'll like pull back on it just enough that he thinks like, you know, I'm just planting the seed of this idea. Like,
hey,
but
you know what?
Like,
Philadelphia was built by men. Holy shit, I didn't even think that. What does this bitch think she's doing?
And he's like brainwashing you or whatever. But it's like so obvious.
I didn't hate Dilbert either. I feel like because I started reading, like, it sounds like you, I was super young.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I skipped anything that seemed like boring for even a split second.
Totally.
But Dilbert, I would like power through and be like, oh, those are like, they were funny. Or
super
they were,
fun,
like,
yeah. super easy. I loved Dogbert, who is not really a part of the strip anymore. So I do check in on Dilbert like pretty often. I like read the guy's blog and like every Dilbert strip that posts every day on the website has like 2,000 comments under it. of just like people going back and forth on Dilbert. Some people in the Dilbert comments hate Dilbert, and they just go out there to just like complain about it every day. Or they used to like it, but they're like, now it sucks, and they just bitch about Dilbert. And Dogbert, it's all like Dilbert and the pointy-haired boss and Alice now. It's mostly like Dilbert pointing out some like logical fallacy and like Alice's feminism. This is what the Dilbert strip is now. But I guess he just like doesn't like Dogbert anymore for some reason. There was also a thing about how someone pointed out in the comments I was reading was that there's never been a black guy in Dilbert. Oh, there a black character has never appeared in a Dilbert strip. And people were like, why is that? And Scott Adams responded in the comments.
So he's reading the hundreds of comments below his.
Yeah. And he said, he was like, I can't do a black character because if I gave him any like comedy qualities, people would call me a racist. And like, because I'm not black. And it would just I would just have to do like the most bland character, and you know, that would just like be a disservice to the strip. This is a guy who does include a lot, like the most shrill women you'll ever, like he's comfortable, like, you know, putting himself in the mind of a woman to make her awful.
So he's, when he says like I can't do the kind, is he saying like I can't do the kind of comedy I want if I have a black guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think what he's trying to say is like if I made him funny at all, people would say that it was like racist because he's not like a perfect black character. And I sort of get. I remember with Foxtrot.
Oh shit!
Was that one that you read? That was one of my absolute favorites.
Yeah,
I had all the like giant collect. I still have them. I like lugged these out from Boston to L.A. Like those huge collections.
Oh, that's
of,
so yeah,
of
yeah.
Comics.
Like the hardcover, like
yes,
compendiums.
Yes. And Jason, the youngest Fox son in Foxtrot, had a friend named Marcus who was black, and it always felt to me, even when I was a kid, that it was like sort of just like including a black character for that, for like, you know, just to have one in there. But yeah,
like Carl on The Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. Who there's like absolutely nothing black about him. He's, right. He's just like could easily be a white guy. Sounds white, voiced by a white guy.
Yeah. One of my favorite Simpsons jokes ever is like white people have names like Lenny and black people have names like Carl. It's like, Homer, I think that's very specific to your world.
Yeah.
We're dancing around some of the main thing that kept me into comics this whole time was, of course, Far Side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is like my big one. There was a period of time
did
where
you have t-shirts?
I had t-shirts. I had the calendars. I had the tomes. They're probably all in storage in my mom's place.
Yeah.
And there was a period of time where you could show me the image and I could maybe guess the caption. But it's also part of what I now recognize as being older is like understanding what is funny. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I would be like, if I didn't remember the exact quote, I would remember the premise.
Yeah.
Because it would stand out to me. I'd be like, oh, I know what this is. And I could still to date like pull like fucking maybe I could probably list like 100.
Do you have a favorite one?
I have two favorites.
Wow.
I have two of my absolute favorites.
Yeah.
One is it's a group of goldfish standing outside of a fishbowl that's burning with their hands on their hips looking at it. And the caption says, well, of course, now we are equally screwed, which is like very funny to me. And then my all time favorite, the one that I like even more, is it's a picture of a chicken sitting on a like easy chair.
Yeah.
And in closer in frame is two cows leaning in and looking directly out at the comics, sort of like breaking the fourth wall. And it's like, and at that, it's one cow. It's like, and at that moment, Morty ruined what would have been the best comic strip ever. like the idea,
that's
as a
good
kid
stepping out of it,
right? And the idea as a kid of like he drew someone ruining his comic is such like an interesting take.
Yeah,
and it stuck with me forever.
Here's a question for you: would you read the strips when you were a kid and laugh?
I don't know.
I don't think I ever want. There's something I would do every single day, and I think I would just read them like stone faced. It was never something that I would like crack up.
Yeah, I would never crack up. I would
sometimes say to my dad like, "Oh, like Robot Man is good today."
Right. I would sometimes like I had a couple of nerdy friends and be like, you know, like tell them about what I saw, but it still wasn't like I wasn't laughing like when I was watching The Simpsons or anything like that. Yeah,
the stuff that did you read Dave Barry.
Yes.
That was the one thing that I would, like, ever in my life that I would read, and it would actually make me, like...
I read that in college when I took...
In college,
I took a comedy writing class
at
a school that is had no writing major. I took it, and it was, like, taught by someone who was an English professor, and we watched, and we read... A Modest Proposal, like Dave Barry's books.
All the funniest shit.
Like just, and it's like, oh, it's comedy writing for like comedy essay writing. And it was like, oh, this is not what I wanted to be at all. And me and two of the guys from the sketch group I was in, we all took it like, dude, comedy writing. This is going to be so
and
fun.
You're reading like PJ O'Rourke
yep,
and shit.
Exactly.
Oh, that sucks.
And we're doing the worst. And we're like, oh, this is awful. I'm like, I'm writing essays for the fucking class. I'm like, oh, now this is ruining comedy for me.
Yeah. that's always something that bugs me about like when people describe like a funny book, like on the back of a funny book, it's like gut bustingly, like side splittingly funny. Like almost nothing I've ever read has made me laugh. I mean, you imagine like reading a book and just like
what is that connection that it doesn't reading a joke doesn't feel as good as someone saying it?
I think it just doesn't like hit you as hard. It's just like colder media. I forget that's a cold hot medium or whatever.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The
I feel like colder.
Marshall
is the
McLuhan
right
thing,
yeah.
But it's just like not as powerful an impact. And so like I might smile or something.
Right.
But...
And also, I think you having to process it, you sort of get ahead of it.
Yeah.
Because if you're reading like you kind of know how it's going to end as you're reading it.
Totally.
So like, but on like in movies and TV, like. Or stand up, it's fast enough that you're processing it all at once.
Yes, but Dave Barry was the one exception. I was like 10, and I would like try to read it out loud to my parents and just not be able to get through it.
Like
I
just
would
laughing so
be,
much,
like gasping for air. I would just as he writes about his like idiot dog or whatever, just like the most kind of down the middle newspaper columns.
That's so funny that you're into that.
And then I got a book. He wrote a book called like Dave Barry in Cyberspace. And weirdly, it was like a bunch of columns about like him not knowing how to use a computer or whatever. But weirdly interspersed within them is the story of a man and a woman who like fall in love with a chat room. It's like a married man and this other woman. And it was such a mature story for like my age. I'm like reading this thing and like trying to catch up to it. I think they have like some kind of weird version of cyber sex, which like launched me into a cyber sex career. Like, that
23/male.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Want to go private? That's what you say.
God, if we haven't aged ourselves out of half the audience by talking about newspaper comics, the second we start talking about like ASL question mark.
Cyber sex and like the Nickelodeon chat room. I had a girlfriend, an internet girlfriend from that room, whose screen name, I hope this isn't like searchable where you could like figure out her real name, but it was like Tina T338 or something like that because she loved Tina Turner. But she was like, no, I'm 12. And I say she.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That he is now 70.
Yes.
I was Surf Rat 69. And so I would get a lot of gay people.
At what age?
At like fucking like 12 or 13.
And 69 as a joke or you just...
I must have just found out about it. Because I have a distinct memory in my head of when I saw Bill and Ted's the second time.
Yeah.
And they go, I'm thinking of a number between 100. And they both go, 69 and laugh. And yeah, I laughed at it for a different reason. The first time I laughed at it, it turns out, was just because two people said the same thing at the same time.
Number.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then when I found out what 69ing was, surprising no one, around the time of the internet is when I discovered what 69ing amongst a number of other things were.
Yeah.
And I have that. But it was... SRF Rat 69.
Okay.
So I would get a lot of messages from like people who were into like older gay men because they thought I was like a senior in a frat and into 69ing. Like they thought it was like senior frat 69.
Wow. And they would articulate that. Like,
yeah, like I'd be like, oh, what's your name mean? I'm like, oh, I like to serve.
Senior frat 69. Wow.
So I had no idea what I was getting into.
Yeah. They would have come to you anyway. Right, I mean, it's not like they're looking for like a specific way in.
Right, right. They're not like, that's the kind of screen name I want to jerk off to.
Yeah.
Speaking of not knowing where you were going at the time, what about this Kathy chick, huh?
Oh, yeah. Kathy was a bit, yes. I would totally read Kathy every day.
I dug Kathy. Yeah. I did. I it was really funny because in hindsight, it's like, it's really like depressing.
Yeah.
But it was like really funny to hear, like, my mom wasn't like that at all. My mom was like overweight, but never like seemed like she cared or anything like that. So it was really funny to see, like, and we had no sisters or anything. So, like, to me, I was like, oh, this is what women are like. I'm getting it from like a paneled cartoon. I'm
The confusing, a bunch of weird stuff about Kathy. One is that the writer's name, the cartoonist was like, I think her name is Kathy Geiswhite or something. And so you're like, is this her? Like, is this really what she's about? And she wasn't drawn that fat.
Right. She looked reasonable. She looked like
a cartoon. Right, she just looks like a cartoon woman. But the whole thing is about how just like crushingly fat she is. And she's like breaking scales all over town and stuff.
And like bathing suit season, tears spraying out of her eyes or whatever.
It was also so like, I never really looked at the drawing style or anything. But just like looking back on it now. In other strips, characters are always, like, facing each other. Sort of, like, looks half like a real conversation.
Right.
Kathy is always looking straight down the middle. Yeah. Just, like, right down the barrel. I think because, I mean, the idea of, like, showing another angle on Kathy would just be, like, so difficult.
Like, that feels like someone who got into cartooning via writing.
Yes.
It's like, let's just...
Totally. I have a story to tell.
I can only draw a character, one character.
Yeah.
Did you... We kind of did you were you into Far Side? I felt like Far Side was the most
Totally.
But did you ever want to do cartoons because of these?
Yeah, I feel like when I was a kid, I would draw like shitty comic strips. I could never draw, so
same
I would
here.
Have to be one of those guys that like teams up with an artist. I remember Zitz was done by two people, but I always felt like if you. You might as well do something else.
Right. Like, if you're like, another kind if I'm going to team up with someone, I might as well team up with like a director or another TV writer.
Like splitting the money for a comic strip, like at this point, is not like a great proposition.
I remember there's a period of time, a good buddy of mine, the guy who does all the animation, all the graphic design for High and Mighty and my website and stuff, this guy, Brain versus Brawn, is his online website. I played rugby with him in college, and he was a graphic designer and a very good artist. And all I wanted to do was make cartoons with him. I was like, you got to help me make a cartoon. Like, trying to get – and it's like for me to be – and then we were working in like trying to work in Flash animation. For me, it's like I have a funny idea. Make it happen. It's like, like, you know, like – and it's like the it's an unfair weight balance of like I want to write cartoons. I want you to draw them. It's like so
totally.
Unfair.
And then he's probably thinking like I could probably come up with some stuff.
Right.
That,
and the cartoon we made in college was called Two Huge Freaking Guys. And it was like two bodybuilders. It was like and then after we watched it a few times, we were like we did such a good job. We were like this is Hans and Franz.
Do you still have it?
We must have it somewhere. I could probably fucking pull
it's
it
like
up.
Some weird file that like you can't open on any. Like,
it's a .fdlm.
Yeah, .amp. Yeah.
We realized we just made Hans and Franz, and I was like, you know what? Yeah. Fuck it. I'll just do sketches.
But your way into that was newspaper? Like, were they all like little short cartoons?
They were like, because I always wanted to do newspaper cartoons, and I couldn't draw. And then, And then as I got older, I was like, oh, cartoons is like the next step from there. And I thought that would be good. And like, to date, I still wish I could draw.
Yeah.
And I guess you could. And I was an art
minor. This is a great.
I minored in
window.
Art.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Studio art.
It's a specific thing with your accent. It doesn't show with everything you say, but you say draw like something that you put clothes in.
Yeah, I draw. I don't know how to say that word. I say that. I call that a draw, too. You draw something.
Yeah.
And then you put your underwear in your draw.
Yeah, it just shows up at that word.
It's a hard word.
So hard.
I can't add the ER without it sounding like someone who does drawings, like a drawer.
It sounds like one of those people that have like some Latin heritage who like speaks like totally unaccented English, but when they say a Spanish word, it's like piñata.
Yeah, exactly. What do we call that? That's like weatherman Spanish.
Oh,
there's
a
T-storm outside of Nicaragua.
Yeah.
Like white people just. That reminds me, just randomly, I was watching the opening ceremonies of the Olympics and Coda Hotby. Hoda Kotb.
Yeah.
What a spoonerism there. My wife's a big Today Show fan, okay, and big Hoda and Kathy fan, and Hoda's hosting it. And they're like, oh, Hoda, maybe we should let you announce this next one. And it's the country of Egypt.
Oh,
and she's
wow.
from, she's Egyptian. She's like, I know my mother and father are so proud. They were born there. I know there's some people down in Alexandria, Virginia getting rather excited right now.
Wow.
And then she's like, they're like, they have to fill like 25 seconds for each country as they walk. And
it's I watched it.
It's so fun when there's like, they don't know what they're like. Micronesia. No. That's a tiny country. You know, like,
it's all Matt Lauer being like talking about what rich people go do in those places. Yeah, he's like, that's a great surf fishing country.
He's like, my friend told me about Micronesia. They have a great Four Seasons there.
Yeah, and people are, you know, like starving to death.
But when during the Egypt one, and like they were about to cut away, and Hoda just says, "Oh, is that my cousin?"
And oh, like laughs. Wow.
And it was like, I was watching with my wife, and she loves her, and she's like, "Anyone else, that would have been."
What if someone else had said?
Yeah, right. Look, it was just so funny to say, "Is that my cousin?" It's like, that is so. That's like. That would be like, you would be racist if you said to Hoda, hey, is that your cousin?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
To make it herself made it so funny.
They wouldn't make it past that commercial break, or they'd have to come back and be like, I realized something I said was a little inappropriate. I just want to apologize. Far Side, I was into, but not as much. I had all the collections. I still have a copy of Revenge of the Crash Test Dummies from the library.
Whoa. Nice.
It has
a
little
that.
Like library sticker on the side. Oh, that was like, that,
yeah, I remember
Dewey Decibel number on
I have
and
that
stuff.
For sure in my house.
But
what about you know. What were the other I Garfield
like
was
Calvin
fine.
And Hobbes. We don't even want to get it. You know, so many other people like own Calvin, like
right.
have ownership of it in their hearts. And I did love it.
I loved Calvin and Hobbes, but no more or no less than I loved anything else. Far Side was the one for me that my love of it went outside of the Sunday paper.
Yes.
Everything else, I was like, I'm into it. Beetle Bailey.
Yeah.
I was fine. I love the art of Beetle Bailey because it was like, it was like goofy cartoon.
That was one of the ones you would see at some point. A second name get added to the to the strip when like the son took over. I think with Beetle Bailey it was the son. Family Circus that happened too when the original artist turned
so
like 90 years old. The new one takes over, and I know a lot of strips did a thing where they would just start farming it out and not tell you it had changed.
Someone was telling me, maybe I heard this on a podcast from someone else, but like. John Arbuckle or someone who knew they were going to die like wrote all of the comics.
Okay, so John Arbuckle does not actually write that
He's
comic.
He's the guy in it.
It is. It seems very like it must be so true to life.
John
Jim
Davis.
Jim Davis. What do you think? That John Arbuckle is like a real
The name sounded so familiar. I was like, I'm pulling deep reps out here. And it's like, oh, John Arbuckle is the guy. Is Garfield's
He's
owner.
Garfield's owner. I mean, Garfield wouldn't say that John owes him.
Right,
but,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Did you ever read the site that was around for a while? Is Garfield Without Garfield?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Without Garfield. No, I haven't. Oh, yes, I have seen that one where he's just like talking to himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen some where they just pull all the word bubbles out of it. So it's just Garfield and John just like staring at each other. Lots of great avant-garde Garfield stuff. That was.
Oh, so. But wasn't he the guy that like wrote all the comics up until he was going to die? Like he knew he was going. Right. Oh, no, Peanuts. It was Schultz,
yes,
right? Charles Schultz did something where he's like, I know I'm on my way out, but I'm going to finish the storyline or tell. Like, I think he did something. And there was like, and Peanuts I enjoyed too, but not like, again, in any. To me, when I at the age I was reading the funnies, I was like, Peanuts is for kids. Like I know what I mean? Which is such a weird thing.
I mean,
thing.
It was mild even for the comics pages. I don't want to like dunk on Charles Schultz. I know. Like, people really love his shit, but yeah, I could never really that like that was always like a huh. You
it
know,
wasn't
you'd
like,
read it and be like,
yeah,
huh,
yeah,
okay.
Cool. Yeah. It was, and you were like, I like read it like you, I read it like you had, like you read The Great Gatsby. Like it was just like, this is something I know people say is important. Like, and I was like, not for me, but
totally.
I'll never miss it. Like, oh, Snoopy, cool.
Would you look forward to April Fool's Day every year? Do you remember what would happen in the funnies on April Fool's Day? This was like a holiday for me almost.
No.
Like a week ahead, I would be so psyched up about it because what would happen was on April Fool's Day, the characters in the funnies would switch strips.
Right, they'd be in the other strip. Right, so,
like Curtis would go into, I want to say Jumpstart, which is another black comic strip. I don't know if they actually traded.
But it was like someone would draw the other, like yes. They would pop into, yes, I remember that.
That
now.
Was a big one. I would get so fired up
That is like a national holiday if you're into comics. Yeah.
Totally. Curtis was another big one for me where I grew up in an area where there were like basically no black people. And so that's how I learned. They would do like 3 weeks about Kwanzaa.
Hayes Davenport. High school rower,
yeah.
Didn't grow up around black people.
I may have told the story on another podcast, but in the grocery store, when I was like 3 or 4 years old, I saw, I think, my first black guy, and I said to my mom, look, Mom, he's on the Cosby Show.
Oh,
and she
wow.
had to apologize to
and
this
And so that
guy.
Was like, because that was your only reference for black people.
I guess I thought that they just existed only in... The Cosby Show.
Oh, that's wild. Justin Tyler, former guest of the podcast, he was from upstate New York from a weird... He didn't meet a Jewish person until college.
Wow.
Yeah, he like didn't even know anything about... Like, it was just like people just didn't know them.
Yeah.
Like,
pretty good at
college. He went to Hamilton College.
Yeshiva.
Yeah. He went to Howard University. met his first Jewish person there. First black Jewish person,
wow.
Which is very exciting. Yeah.
Cool.
That's so... Oh, I don't remember Curtis. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Curtis wore his hat in this physically impossible way, which was like backwards and kind of balanced on his head. So it was like falling off his head. Green hat.
I'm going to demonstrate it because I know because this actually became popular in like super high, right? Like it
didn't super high, farther back.
Oh, like,
but you can't do it exactly right because it would fall off.
Because it's gravitationally physically impossible.
And he had a friend named Gunk. Who was from, he had a white friend who was from some weird tropical island somewhere and whose pupils were like so close together. They were like in the center of his head. I always remember that. And he had like weird spiky hair. He had a little brother. His dad was
now, did you like it like from a sense of like, I don't know anything about black people, or did you like it from like,
it was a great strip on its own,
right?
But sometimes it would give me a little medicine with my candy and sort of teach me about black culture in a way. So I was like,
I would love to show
everything I know today.
I would love to show 10-year-old Hayes like 3 seasons in a row of Boondocks. Just see,
I love Boondocks. Boondocks came along a little later,
right,
I remember
that.
And there was another strip called Get Fuzzy that I really liked,
yes,
but that only started when I was like 12 or 13 or something like that. I feel like those were a little newer. And Boondocks, my introduction to like black militant culture, I mean, that was huge. I loved Boondocks. I still think it is like
it's
probably
still so
like,
good.
One
yeah.
of the best
and
ever.
The show is fucking amazing to watch. It's so fun to watch.
Yeah, not a lot of strips turned into shit. There was a Dilbert cartoon.
I remember
for
that.
A little while. I would watch Garfield and U.S. Acres. They had
what was Dagwood's strip called?
Blondie,
yes. What?
They're still doing that.
They're still doing it.
Yeah.
I would say, and this might be, hindsight being a little, my memory being a little fuzzy here. I would say 2 out of 5 comics a week were about him eating something at night while his wife's asleep.
And it was a giant sandwich.
It was a big sandwich.
Yeah,
usually, right?
Now
so it was like balancing
it. A Dagwood. They
I know.
Call it a
Dagwood. Love that. I love that.
Today, if it were today, he would, I mean, your like sort of comedy identity would basically be Dagwood.
Dagwood.
If Dagwood started today, he would like smoke a lot of weed.
Right.
Blondie would be like, Dagwood.
I do have a blonde wife who's like, stop eating in the middle of the night, please.
Yeah, that was my backpack.
Oh, that's fine. People are very concerned.
I just pass out in the middle of the podcast. You just keep going.
I'll fill it. I had Brandon Wardell on here. He's like, I have to go to the bathroom, and I just let him go, and I talk for like 2 minutes. I'm like, there's got to be. I could probably hit stop and then start again.
But then what if it never goes
right?
back
I
on?
I don't know.
It's too dangerous.
I'm too bad. Well, my main thing was like, oh, I always want to do a podcast that's unedited, you know? And like, and that's like not the appeal of podcasts.
No.
Like, as a listener, no.
No, they edited to make it sound better for the people listening.
But I'm like,
no one's listening. It's like, I wish this were.
I wish this was more raw
edited
and,
so well.
And worse. I wish this was harder to listen to. are we missing any? I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, hundreds, but. Yeah, the big ones that people love now that weren't in the Globe, so I never got into them, were like Pearls Before Swine is one that people are really obsessed with. And Bill Watterson from Calvin and Hobbes actually just came back recently, did like a week of Pearls Before Swine, and only at the end of it was he like, that was Bill Watterson. He just contacted me and said he would do a few strips.
I gotta look that up. Yeah, I don't know anything about Pearls Before Swine. Because I got into real comic books for a long period of time. So like, sure. I got into like X-Men and stuff. And I think that sort of replaced, even though I still loved comedy stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, I would get my comedy from movies and the TGIF lineup. And then my comics, I would get my X-Men and my Avengers.
It's weird to think of somebody going from the Amazing Spider-Man newspaper strip and then like knowing there's like a whole comic book of it.
And then how do you ever go back to the comic strip? Like this big black and white versus
just being like, oh, I'd rather not wait till tomorrow to see another panel of this.
What an insane way to put out it. And that was the other thing, too, that was really fun, is that, like, Sunday was in color.
Yeah,
and the week was in black and white.
Yeah.
So it was, like, Sunday was this a lot. And they would always do, like, Garfield would have, like, magenta background of it, you know?
Yes.
Because like, I think Garfield was it was, like, Doonesbury and Garfield and Mallard Fillmore were, like, the top three. And
okay.
They would always be, like, at least in the Newsday, they were above the fold.
That was for the Globe, too. Yes, definitely. Garfield was above the fold, and I think the top of Doonesbury.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I would be like, it would always be so bright and be, like, so exciting. And then you, like, go right to the Far Side and be like, what's this insane drawing going to look like? Because Far Side works in black and white rather well, too, because it's, like, just so heady. But
yeah.
You would love, like, it, like.
I don't remember seeing Far Sides in color. Like, in the compilations, I don't think they had them in color most of the time.
No, they didn't. But I think if it was a weekend, if it came out on a Sunday, I remember Crash Test, in Revenge of the Crash Test Dummies, it's like pages and pages, and every once in a while there'd be like a big color page,
okay.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, that sounds right. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going back 20 years and shooting from the hip about what I remember from one day a week of reading comics.
Yeah.
Please don't hold us accountable for any of these details we get wrong here.
And I remember a lot of jokes about when they would talk about like being a cartoonist. A lot of them would. Like Far Side did a lot of cartoonist jokes. Foxtrot did a ton of them.
Yeah. The dude bent over the table. It's like,
guy is always a character in the thing. And like, it's like someone's going to career day being like a kid's like, I want to be a cartoonist. And the teacher's like, never say that again. Right. Promise me you'll never say that again.
Yeah. There was an element of like, you could just imagine them going like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
I need 40 for April and May. Like,
and just being like, when is this one going to run? It's going to be like spring. Like it's February now.
Yeah.
I guess this one is good. Like it's kind of like end of school time.
And like meta stuff wasn't like as prevalent back then. So
no.
It was like it felt like a more intelligence than hack when that happened back then.
I remember reading about Scott Adams feeling like he cracked the system because Dilbert is so fucking easy to draw. It's just like such a joke. And he doesn't even draw it anymore. He just has like Dilbert templates where he'll like click a button that says Dilbert and Dilbert will appear
in
the
panel.
Like, and he's like,
Dilbert,
here's Dilbert.
Profile.
Here's Alice. Yes, Alice talking.
Yeah.
Pointing her boss mad. And it was just like.
So smart.
And it'll just show up.
That dude can learn anything, man, in a couple hours.
Yeah, he's.
That's such a bold statement.
It. Yeah, it's awesome. and then some guy, this conservative pundit who's like a total dick, named this guy Bill Kristol, responded to Scott Adams about when he was like, name one thing that I can't master in an hour, and he wrote tweeting. And it was fucking cool. Like, that was the one time I was like, oh yeah, this guy's all right.
That's awesome.
And Scott Adams also had he had this condition called spasmodic dysphonia, which like it fucked up his voice. Like his vocal cords would get like really warbly. There's this NPR woman named Diane Rehm who also has it, and she still does a show, but she like kind of sounds like this.
Oh, weird.
And so Scott Adams had that, but he decided he was going to beat spasmodic dysphonia with his mind, and not only was he going to get his voice back, he was going to make it better than it ever was before. He was going to have the perfect voice.
Through hypnotizing himself?
Yeah, I guess
so. Hypnotized, mind over matter shit?
And I wonder if... I mean, I think he lives alone, so I think it's possible that he just never spoke again.
It's just easier not to talk.
Yeah, but like you know, but he just like is like, no, I did it. I mastered it, and now my voice is perfect.
Oh,
but he has no reason to just like ever say anything to anyone.
What a dick.
Yeah.
Do you still read any cartoons now? It sounds like you still go to the Dilbert website every day.
Yeah. There was a time when I would, that would be like in my regular rotation of sites, because every day would be something so fucked up. This like life philosophy that I just could not get a handle on. And I just sort of wanted to learn more about. So it would be like, you know, check like a fantasy football blog, go to Dilbert.com. But no, like, you know, I read the LA Times, and that comic section is pretty bad.
Is it?
It's a lot of the old stuff.
The other ones I remember hating were like Mary Worth, Nina Starr, and Apartment 3G or something like that.
Yes, Mark Trail and stuff like that. The, yeah, they're
ones
still
that were
running
drama
those.
Strips, I didn't give a fuck about.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think they can't get rid of those because they'll be hit with like an onslaught of letters being like,
of the only people still getting newspapers.
I'm unsubscribing. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think they are playing to their audience who are like, what's going to happen? I remember, yeah, Mary Worth's thing was that she just like meddled in other people's business.
I remember her hair was like very shinily drawn, and I liked that. It was like they drew like the Bob's Big Boy eye, like that gleam, that little thing that like when you draw like the cartoon that's like sort of like a rhombus. Yeah, and it's like in your hair to show that my black hair is so shiny.
Yeah, but I think she was old. Like she was like drawn old even in like the 90s. So I feel like now if she is aging, she must be like 110 years old or something. My memory of her is that she was like an actual old woman.
It was like, it's just always over her tombstone. All the current.
Sometimes people like walk in and out.
Often there's no one talking. It's just, oh shit, that's an intense three-panel comic. It's just the tombstone with nothing changing.
Yeah, and they do the previously on it. It's the tombstone, and then it's just the tombstone in the middle panel, and then next week is another tombstone.
Just saying rhombus reminded me, in interest of the ADHD of this podcast, me and two of my buddies in college tried to start the Marist newspaper was called the Circle or the Square.
Oh, wow.
And we tried to make like an underground zine like called the Rhombus. Me and these two guys were sort of like we were sort of like garnered ourselves as intellectuals. Like my freshman year, I lived on the they put all these jocks on the basement floor because you could walk up and get into someone's apartment.
Yeah.
So they didn't let women live on the basement floor. So it was all dudes. And then it just happened to be the dudes were like five football players, like three baseball players, lacrosse players, a couple of rugby guys, and then a couple of nerds. And I became friends with the nerds. One of them is still a good friend of mine. We lived together for the next 3 years. But two of the guys, we thought we garnered. We were like, yeah, we're fucking these guys. We think outside the box. We were finding ourselves. It was freshman year of college. We found other people who knew about, who had interesting takes on life, and we were just like, we need a cartoon. I just remember all the shit. We're like, and my friend Eric was like, we got to do an expose on like teacher
the cafeteria, you know, like, food.
It was like, and in hindsight, you're just like, this is happening in every dorm room across. Oh, yeah. And at the
and
time,
you did do it.
I'm trying to remember. I think we never did it because that would be pretty on game for me. Is like huge ideas
this
never following through.
Idea. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it would have been like on printer paper,
right?
Just stapled together.
Right, it would have been like one, and we would have like copied it a bunch in the student activities.
And you
lodge.
Do that thing, where you just like sneak in the middle of the night, you just like drop it off, and yeah, you're like, now it's out there, now it's out in the world.
Who wrote it? It just says like, the triad. Yes.
And you're coming up with your backstories, be like, no, I think it's like interesting stuff, but like,
you're like overselling it.
Yeah,
anyone seen this rhombus?
But like Reddit, you have plausible deniability if like the dean ever comes to you. Like you've deleted all the files from your computer. And stuff.
I don't even have that font on my Microsoft Word. Trust me.
And then it's just thrown in the garbage by like a janitor.
The dean's like, that's fine. Freedom of speech. Like, takes a sheaf of like 100 pages and just toss it all. No one's taking them, so.
We've got to do something about the rhombus. We've got to shut down the rhombus.
Hard hitting. That was us. I would love whenever I got political in college. There was like a animal rights group called Marist Animal Rights Ninjas. That was like a bunch of like uber hipsters. Yeah. And they were like, we did a comedy sketch about them in our big show where it was like people threw meat at them and they melted. Like, and it was like, it had no take. It had no take other than that these people are assholes. And someone's doing a very specific impression of the one lesbian with like a tongue ring that's in Martin. Like, one of our actors was doing
that's
that.
That's great.
And then we had like a meeting.
And
with,
if you know her, it's yeah, like and, really funny.
So there's no take on them. The take is this woman is annoying. And yeah. if you let's throw meat at vegans. And then we had to have a meeting with like the dean and the animal rights people. And we had like a sit down in a big conference room, and we had to apologize, and we're like, I feel like the line we crossed was impersonating you in an unfair light. Like, I came in with that, and I said, but I'm not going to take back commenting on things that happen at the school. Like, I came in with,
you
like,
kept here. Your integrity. Imagine if you'd sold out your values.
Of my short form and sketch improv troupe. We got to keep our integrity. So
I'm sorry you got so pissed off about my impression.
Yeah, I'm sorry you hated the sketch about the serial rapist when the guy fucked a box of Honey Nut Cheerios.
And were you, like, was your thing at the time that, like, the circle was, like, a voice of the, like, the administration? Or
it wasn't even that. It was more just, like, we didn't even try to write for the circle. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm sure if we pitched even the articles we wanted to do, the circle would be like, yeah, fine, go ahead. But, like, we were like, they're working, like, we were like, none of us were even like, yeah. We were like, dude, we got to do something against this. It's like, wait, why? We don't even know what we didn't even read the newspaper. It was like, we just chose, like, it was. We were just being cliches that we didn't know we were being. We were like, until like now or until sophomore year.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to do like
weed, probably.
It's crazy how the servers allow us to share pornography at such a high bit rate. Like, it would have been all about T3 internet. Yeah.
Was that in like the file sharing? You were in college like right before I was.
I was in college for like Napster and LimeWire were huge, but also the network that we didn't understand, but some of the older kids, a couple of my buddies freshman year were computer guys, like computer majors.
Yeah.
And they met some older computer majors that were like in the same fraternities or whatever, and they met these, and he's like, this one guy Sharp, I won't say his first name because maybe he's gone on to do other things, but this dude Sharp, who went to our college, had like the first dude you knew who had an external hard drive, and this was like 2000. He had an external hard drive chock full of pornography, and it was like saved in categories and stuff, and he would give you the password. Like, he gave us the password in the house, and we would all have access to like gig, like terabytes,
and it was on the school server.
He was on the school server but locked behind his like
his Tor or whatever.
I didn't understand it at all.
That's
amazing. It was the fucking best.
I wasn't sophisticated enough to do that, and I got called in to like the computer police one day on campus because I had downloaded something I was really embarrassed by. It was like a lit song or something. It wouldn't have been that, but like something that just like sucked, Counting Crows or whatever. And they were like, we saw that you downloaded this. That's illegal. It's a federal crime and all this shit. Don't do that again. And that, I don't think I like looked at porn the rest of the time that I was in college because it was like whatever I could see on my computer, I knew that
someone could watch it somewhere.
Yeah. So then someone's there looking at this guy's checking Dilbert.com every day.
Wait, it's we should probably still have a talk with him about
scarier.
This. Sir, if you'd like to watch some pornography, we'd prefer that. Please go back to watching porno. That just made me think of we printed up $10 bills, my friend.
What?
I'll say no more on mic about it, but we were like, can we even use these? And then we were like, this is so dangerous. Like, then someone got caught selling IDs.
On like linen paper?
On like a special kind of printer paper. It wasn't exactly as close to dollars.
But just enough. Wait, they're $10 bills?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not something they're going to hold up to the light at like the fucking pizza joint
or
whatever.
Exactly, and we were just like, someone got busted for IDs, and we were like, we should never have. Like, we were just fucking around with it,
yeah.
And then it was like, this is so stupid. Let's get out of here.
You never tried one. You did.
Let's just say I drank for pretty cheap for a
wow.
Yeah,
that is one of those scary things where I can see why you'd be concerned that like doing something with money is like an odd, like a minimum of a 40-year sentence at a federal prison or something like that.
Like, we were just idiot 18-year-olds who's like, I have a really good printer. Yeah. It was fucking insanity. So now I've admitted to like five crimes on like hate speech. I mean, go back, track me down and arrest me.
No one was asking for it. Like, I never tried to dig it out of you. You just
that, this is classic Gabrus.
Pulled it out.
Hayes, I've had you in here for. Thank you so much for coming by. But let's wrap the any comics we would recommend. Yeah, read Farside. Read Curtis.
Oh my god, can you even do? I mean, I guess you can probably go like,
read the Dilbert comments. I feel like that's what I'm gonna go do. I'm gonna go look through Dilbert.
I almost feel like he's gotten too big now. I mean, I was like kind of mad that like now everyone is into what a fucking weirdo Scott Adams is. Because well, I've been on this for like 8 years, but it's not something you really want.
I've been hate reading this the comment for a decade.
Be vocal about.
No, I
don't think anyone should read the funnies now. There's like nothing you'd like get out of it except like nostalgia. There's like definitely not anything good happening over there that you can't get a better version of.
Right, you can't just watch Adult Swim or watch Rick and Morty.
Yeah. Oh, I'll bet Boondocks, if he's still doing it every day, I'll bet that one is still good.
I'm sure that's still good. Yeah.
But yeah, even that's been like 12 years. I mean, his are always about current events, so the well is never really dry.
Right, right.
It's
and
like
I,
how he
I wonder if
comments
there's anything
on shit
currently that he could be writing about in African American struggles.
You know what? It's probably great right now.
Yeah.
I don't know why I ever put it down.
I will be taking.
But you know what? He is probably looking at Ta-Nehisi Coates too and being like, should I maybe just be writing not a newspaper comic?
Right,
like, get my ideas out there. I mean, he has a show and stuff.
I'm sure he's going to be.
He wrote Red Tails. Did you ever see Red Tails?
I did, the George Lucas movie.
Did he direct that? Did George Lucas direct Red Tails?
That's the Tuskegee.
Red Tails is about the Tuskegee Airmen.
Yes,
yeah.
I believe George Lucas directed.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Or is like the EP on it.
Okay, that's probably
like
what
that
it was. Yeah. Yeah, Aaron Magruder wrote that.
Oh, mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah,
I like that
cool
movie.
Yeah, it was good.
I thought it was weird that I felt like maybe now I'm just being racist, but I felt like some of the guys talked a little modern. They were like, oh, damn.
That's
I was like, that feels weird.
Yeah.
It felt like more modern African-American slang. Than,
yeah.
Like, but maybe that was intentional. I don't know. Let me get out of this. Speaking of Red Tails, I'm in an absolute spin out. Be cranking on the yoke. Hayes, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
No.
Are you on? You're on Twitter.
Yeah, but I don't really use it.
Oh, okay. Because people will want to tweet at us comics that we forgot and how stupid we were and how low the volume was. People will want to make sure we know all that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would love to read those and not respond to them. Yeah. No, that would be great.
At Hayes Davenport?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's really nice to just not have the pressure to because you're like, I never use it or respond to anything.
Right, right.
You know.
I will not respond, but I will give you a like and not read it.
Yeah, you're very good about that because I always get after you're on our podcast or whatever.
Yeah, like John Gabrus liked seven
liked
tweets.
Liked a post that you were mentioning. like some tweets that you were mentioning. And you're just like, I could see you plowing through.
Yeah, I go through mentions. I'm like, oh, like, and then I'm like, if it's something that I truly, I'm like, oh, that's an interesting fact. That's an interesting fact. This is nonplus. I don't need a tag to my own joke, you know, like that. Like,
do you ever accidentally like something by a total like weirdo that like as you're just like going too fast through it and then you have to go back
and
unlike
it? Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Or you're like, this seems rather intense. And then like you look at what else the guys are, you look at the last seven ads.
Yeah.
Like,
look at what you endorsed.
Eight different earwolf people just being like, this is what you need to have done. You know, like, can you please talk about anime on this? Can you please talk about anime on this? Can you? And I'm like, all right, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar, listen to Hayes's wonderful Earwolf podcast,
Hollywood Handbook
with former guest Sean Clements.
When is this coming out? I don't know if we'll still be doing the show.
This comes out on, I don't know. That's a good question. In the next week or two,
Do you go like way ahead? Do you like bank them way in advance?
I'm pretty banked up right now.
You're
and
good.
If I jam in a Summer Olympics one, this will get pushed another week too.
We're barely. We release on Tuesday, and it's always like on Friday, and we record on Saturday.
Right. Well, you guys have jobs. That's the thing that gets in your way.
Yeah,
right?
That is.
For me, I'm free because I go, oh, I want to have Hayes on the podcast, and I email
That's
you, and you're
right.
like, I'm free this week, and then I go, oh, Pat Walsh should be on too, and then I email him. He's like, I'm free this week. And I'm like, doing two in one day. Now I'm like, might as well get it now rather than be like, oh, cool. Let me remember to email you again and set this up.
That's right. Yeah podcasting isn't good for.
I'm not organized.
The 5-day work week.
Yeah, no. It's great that this is a Monday afternoon that we're recording on.
That's nice.
Hayes, thank you so much for coming on, man. This
thank
is so
you,
fun.
Buddy.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have a follow up and talk about being in super long term relationships.
That could be sad.
But Pally, Adam Pally, former
Same
guest,
thing.
He's been with his wife since high school.
There's a lot there. High school, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a rich area for sure. I would love to talk about that.
And but coincidentally, doesn't your wife also work in TV and movies, right?
Yeah, she does. And we did meet on the Lampoon, but she was like an artist there.
Oh,
but
so.
She's like a screenwriter. She's working on like the Tomb Raider movie and
Oh, awesome.
And Dungeons and Dragons. She just, I don't know if this is a secret, but I'll say it anyway. She just kind of did a pass on a Dungeons and Dragons.
I know that that script is, I know that that's being developed.
It's going around.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
well, I'm going to ruin the next interaction.
Someone who's like, who loves the game, yeah. You will hate it.
Well, I'm going to ruin my next interaction with your girlfriend as I pick her brain. Okay. We're all adults here.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just immediately like,
tell me there's the vorpal sword. Tell me you use the vorpal sword. Is it Forgotten Realms? Is it Dragonlance? Where in the world does it take exist?
And then she goes back and puts that in, but uses it in the wrong way.
Right, and then I realize,
like, no!
I'm the guy, like, Soylent Green is people. Like, no. Yes. Like, fuck. I'm like just outside my house on my knees in the rain, like Shawshank. Yeah. I blew it. She added Elminster the Sage, but not in the way I wanted him to be there. thanks, Hayes. Yeah. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.